A few Sundays ago, Los Angeles Times columnist Sandy Bakes wrote a piercing article interrogating her previous work, including her reporting on a high-profile case of a young black man sentenced to 40 years in prison. With many states doing away with punitive measures like the three strikes law, Banks's reflection about her work is part of a larger movement re-examining criminal justice. Sandy Banks has been a journalist with the LA Times for more than three decades, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you, Tanya.
Your recent column looked specifically at your reporting on the case of 19-year-old Brandon Spencer, who was sentenced to 40 years in prison for shooting into a crowd. And when you first wrote about Spencer, you said, quote, "Pull a gun, go to jail." Spencer didn't kill anyone, but he did receive the minimum sentence because of these gang-related enhancements. Why do you think you initially celebrated this hardline punishment?
I have thought about that a lot, Tanya, and I will tell you, when I first looked back at that column, I didn't recognize that person who wrote it. I didn't recognize how harsh I was. But there had been a series of gang shootings, and I'd been writing about them, and there were so many people not involved in gangs who were injured or killed, that I think I just was fed up, and I took it out on him. And, you know, when this young man had been first convicted, he had a big, I'll call it a tantrum in the courtroom, where he was, you know, pushing the officers and screaming and carrying on. So I was probably also kind of affected by that, that here's this kid who's not willing to take responsibility. And but yeah, I was really hard on him. And felt like that was an appropriate sentence, or at least I seemed to.
How do you perceive Brandon's story today? And maybe how would you approach it differently?
I think, well, I would have liked to be in the courtroom. In this case, I did not, you know, I was not there. And I just was kind of basing my column on our news reports and talking to our reporters. And it made me realize that you can't sit in your newsroom or wherever you are and make judgments in a vacuum. And it was wrong to tie my feelings about this case to what else was going on. But it was also realistic, because that is how we perceive things. You know, we perceive things through our own kind of self-interest and what's going on with us and in our lives and the threat to us. So I think what I would have done differently was held off on commenting until I knew more and had talked to more people.
With that, you know, as journalists, we are all having these conversations about myths of objectivity, knowing what we know now. You know, should we, as journalists covering criminal justice, be thinking about that as we interrogate our own biases? What are the questions you're now asking yourself when it comes to this?
You know, I think interrogating our own biases is a great way to put it, because that is what I'm doing. So it's just made me more aware that what I say matters. I mean, you know what I think about now? I think about the parents of Brandon Spencer reading that first column, where I'm basically calling, you know, the son that they worked very hard to raise, and they homeschooled him for a while, and they sent him to relatives in the South when he got in trouble, and they did all this to keep him safe and out of trouble. And to see me in the newspaper, you know, and I'm a black woman and he's a young black man, and to see me blasting him the way I did, I think a lot about that. So now I realize that we have a tendency to make people into symbols for whatever message we're trying to convey. And that's something that I'm not going to do now, even if it's the easier way, or even if I think it's right, because none of this is static, you know, and we're all human beings and capable of change, and more complicated than you can see on the surface. So I think it's made me, my editor complains it makes me slow down too much, you know, but that's, I think, is key. And that's one way to get beyond your bias, is to slow down so you can think about, why am I making these judgments? And you know, one thing, Tanya, that shocked me was so many people said, it wasn't what I wrote that mattered, but it was that I said, hey, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. And the feeling that journalists don't do this enough. And that struck me, because, you know, I mean, I think we do. I'm a journalist. I think we are as honest as we can be. But it really did make me feel much more accountable, and that our whole profession, you know, is accountable to people, and that we need to be careful and to confess when we're not right.
Yeah. And, you know, an important point to make, because many people who are listening may think, but we can't let criminals off the hook if they've done something wrong. But what I'm hearing from you is a slowing down, so that we can get a fuller picture And this kind of sounds in many ways like reparative journalism. I mean, what does that look like? Is that even possible?
I think, yes, it is possible. It may require a shifting of resources, just like we're defunding police, you know. It may require following cases. Like what I'd really like to do if I had the time and you know, the support and the energy would be to see what it's like in prison for Brandon Spencer. So to follow someone from a bad choice they made and talk to the victims. Because I wondered a lot, too. What are those four young people that were shot by Brandon Spencer? What do they think? Mm-hmm. One testified at his trial and said, I don't think he should go to jail. One of them was a kid that he had known since elementary school. And we have to look at, too, why this young man felt like he had to carry a gun. The pressures of growing up in the part of Los Angeles that he did. So I think reparative journalism would be digging more deeply into the cases and the people and their lives. Much as we do, you know, when we cover the opioid crisis, we didn't cover it as a criminal epidemic. We looked at the people and how their lives were affected. And we never did that with crack cocaine. It was always just, you know, here's some criminals that need to be locked up. So I think it's a holistic change that we have to make as a profession and as a society. And I hope that there's an appetite for that now.
That's Sandy Banks, columnist for the LA Times. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Tanya. I enjoyed it.